This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 219. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
I'm having a beer. I don't usually have this often on the show, but I'm having one today for no good reason outside that I have one and I want to drink one. That's it. That's the whole reason. I'm an adult and I can do those things.
Yeah. See, I was just going to say, it's fun being an adult when you can make decisions like that. It's like, I want to, I'm going to do it. Like, I had way more cookies than any human probably should after dinner tonight, but you know what? I'm able to make that decision, so I did. Is my stomach going to be bothering me in an hour from now? Highly likely, but that's a problem for future me.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to tell my kids I'm making these choices because they would just immediately run downstairs and call me hypocrite because I tell them that they can't do these things. But you know what? Damn it, I'm an adult. Ha!
Exactly.
What's going on with you, Matt?
I've had a weird day of having to re-record things. So at the day job on at Odds Checker, we had tech issues, so had to re-record a show. It was only it was quick. It was like 7.5 minutes, but had to re-record that. And then I was doing another spot, and I said, I don't want to get too technical here, but I sent the wrong channel on my board to record. So like, there's two channels recording me and the other person, and my voice is there and the other person's voice isn't because I had the wrong channel set. So I was like, damn it. And that was like a 15 minute spot. So screwed up two things today, but so far so good for Eyes on Isles. I checked. We're looking okay so far.
A minute 40 in and we have not screwed anything up technically
yet.
And on the technical side of things, plenty of podcasts ago where that could in fact happen. But that does. It's so easy to have those things happen where you're like, oh, I hit the wrong bleeping channel all the time. It happens to me all the time.
Yep.
All the time.
Just frustrating.
But let's get into something here that doesn't happen all the time. And that's goals against the Islanders.
Yes. Ilya Sorokin, Mitch, very much so has proven that he is not a bad goalie. Apparently, after two starts, people were hashtag done with Ilya Sorokin. But, well, here's his numbers after six games, which, remember how bad he was early, keep in mind. 933 save percentage, 2.33 goals against average. So, starting to even out a little bit, wouldn't you say?
I would say so, right? He's above 900 in the last four straight starts. So since those two sub-800 save percentage days or games, he's above 900. And in three of those, he's above 974. So he's allowing 2% or less in the net. And it's not like he's just facing 10, 15, 16 shots. Now 32, 26. That's a little low, but whatever. 42. And he's stopping all but three of them. That's it. That's insane.
Yeah, it's good. That's really damn good.
Which is what we saw last year, right? Like, this was the same thing that happened last year. The situation was clearly different, right? Like, the start that he had and the shaky start he had wasn't just seemingly out of nowhere, right? He started that first game out of nowhere, though. And so he was not ready. And then the second one, well, he probably should have been, but he slowly worked his way into it, where it was what we're seeing here again. It only took two games. And to be fair, I don't know if you can blame him on most of those goals. Like, the defensive structure, which is supposed to insulate him from as many high-danger opportunities as possible, just collapsed.
Yeah, it wasn't great, obviously. And there may be some that you could pin on him, but, I mean, just what he just looks more comfortable, too. Like, that's the thing that has stuck out. I know that that's not something you could necessarily quantify and point to, like, oh, this stat is telling me that he looks more comfortable, but just watching him, he looks to be moving better, tracking the puck better, and putting himself in good positions to make saves.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said just a second ago, with the defensive structure breaking down, you see over the last couple of games the defensive structure starting to stabilize. They're still not great. They're still not perfect. They're making some mistakes. Noah Dobson is, you know, still getting body bagged in front of the net on a way too freaking frequent basis. But when it comes to the defensive structure that they operate, and that's limiting high danger opportunities, they're doing so. And you see that in a telling way, and I'm trying to bring it in as I talk here, but it's shot distance. The distance of shots that he is facing, he being Ilya Sorokin, is getting further and further out. So in the first two games, I still don't have the number in front of me, it was in the low 30 feet. So 33 to 35 feet from the net. In the last couple of games, it's like 36 to 39. So they're shooting on average 3 to 4 feet or 6 feet further. That gives him time. Yep. And sometimes, usually, it gives him vision. And that's all a good goalie needs.
Yeah, you would think. And I mean, he's been a slow starter too. We talked about it last week. I think we pulled the KHL numbers. I don't remember which show we did it on. We do way too many shows here. But we pulled the numbers, and he was a slow starter there. In his first 2 years here, he's been a little bit of a slow starter, but just kind of getting into that groove is perfect. And the Islanders really needed him to get in that groove because they didn't have the safety yet at the time of Semyon Varlamov. And clearly they didn't want to go to Corey Schneider, as you know, they played Sorokin in back-to-back starts, which is very rare. I don't know if we've seen that in the Barry Trotz era. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Usually they split, especially on the back-to-back. So the fact that they doubled down on Sorokin after his big performance, and he did it again against a much better team, it was impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And you're absolutely right. Like, they don't really have goalies don't get back-to-backs. I think the last time we saw that in an Islander sweater was Thomas Greiss in that like 9-game road trip, right, where they absolutely would not for the life of them start Chris Gibson.
Right. That was different. They were in a playoff push too at that point, and that was pre-Barry.
Right. We're not talking at the start of the year where, you know, it's not that a loss doesn't matter. A loss doesn't hurt as bad, but they would not for the life of them start Corey Schneider, and they have not and will not start Corey Schneider ever. It's just not going to happen. Unless they absolutely have to, they're going to play him. He's basically their emergency backup goalie.
Yeah, which is fine. He's pretty much just a body right now, but that might not matter at this point, as Semyon Varlamov is activated off of IR.
Exactly, right? So I just want to get to these shots here because I finally pulled it up. At 5-on-5, it's even worse than I thought. Shot distance, the average shot distance that Ilya Sorokin faced in the first two games, 29.77 feet, 33.74 feet. And in the last two games, 38.88 feet and 41.35. We're dealing with like 10 to 7 feet difference, respectively, from the first two games to the last two games. It's clear that the Islanders' defense is able to keep that offense, or whatever the opposition is bringing offensively, to the outside, which now brings us to, we now have Semyon Varlamov back.
Right, that's a huge deal. And, I mean, Sorokin did his job. Yes, it started rough, but you're telling me without your quote-unquote number one goalie, I know it's pretty close to a 50-50 split, but Varley, you would have to consider, is the one who would get the little bit of a nudge here. Without your number, again, your quote-unquote number one, 3-2-1, 9-33 and 2-33, even with the slow start, I think you sign up for that every time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, the slow start sucked, 100%. But again, you can't blame that just on Ilya Sorokin. That's a whole team thing. And now, like you said, you get your number one starter. And again, yes, it's more of a 1A, 1B situation with, like, let's say 55-45 split, and that 5% difference either way is going to go towards whoever the hot end is over a couple of games. But you're getting back a goalie who, in 35 starts, finished with a 204 goals against average, a 929 save percentage, and 7 shutout last year. That's a pretty damn good goalie to just kind of like putting him back on the team. What?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Led the league in shutouts and led the league in goals saved above average with 22.
And finished fifth in Vezina.
Yeah, I don't get it. They value wins too much. That's a conversation for a completely another day, though.
Right. Like, he is, at the very least, he finished fifth. He's a top five goalie in the NHL last year. And he's coming into a team that's could use that. And it's not to say that they don't have it with Ilya Sorokin. They're getting great goaltending from him. It's to say that Now they've got someone to pump to put in there just in case Ilya Sorokin isn't any good on one of those nights. Cool, we can call in our Vezina caliber goalie. Yep. Great.
Yeah, sign me up in a second.
And so they just keeps both guys a whole lot fresher. Right? When you could alternate like that and not just put the load on one guy, my goodness. And you can trust that guy. Again, right? It's not kind of like Barry's going and rolling the dice saying, like, I hope to God Corey Schneider remembers he's a good goalie today. And with all due respect, like, I'm sure he's still a good goalie, relatively speaking, but he's 37. He's got quite a bit of miles on that body. Like, it's just not the same thing anymore. So you do take a risk if you put him out there. They don't have to do that with Semyon Varlamov and Ilya Sorokin. It's really just kind of like, let me roll the dice to see who plays today and what goalie is going to give me a 920 save percentage night.
Right. And I wanted to look at the playoff numbers for the last 2 years because, Varlamov was very good in both playoffs. He had a 922 last year and a 921 the year before that. 2.56 goals against and 2.14 goals against in the bubble. So he's put, you know, steady performance after steady performance in both the regular season and the playoffs in big spots. And really, the Islanders, they're at their best when it's the 1-2 punch, when they're able to keep both guys fresh. So this is just, it's perfect.
Right. And we have to remember that the Islanders getting back a Vezina caliber goalie, I'm not going to say means more than other teams, but kind of carries a little bit more weight just because of how the Islanders play. Again, they operate on a, you can have the puck as much as you want because we know you're not going to get much for it. And even those opportunities you do get, our goalie is going to stop it because we've got two essential Vezina caliber guys out there. Whereas another team, it's more relying on, let's say, offense or something else. Of course, they would like to have a Vezina caliber goalie. But when it comes to the Islanders, that's what they rely on. They need that. If they don't have strong goaltending, they aren't going to be as good as they can be.
No, that's the point. It's their bread and butter. This is what they're good at. They beat you by playing really good defense and getting really good goalie play. And missing half of that with the goalie play, it's going to be a big impact. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It means a lot. So it's good that Varlamov's back. And do you think you see him right away? Do you think they keep going Sorokin?
That was my very next question. Do you think they play him on Saturday at 1:30? By the way, come on.
Yeah, I hate
1:30 on a Saturday. What are you doing here?
That's a tough start time. We'll have you covered, obviously, but I don't like that start time at all. I'm going to say yes. I think they do.
You think they put him in right away?
Yeah, I think they do.
I don't, I'm going to say no, not just because I want to be different. Cause I don't really care to be just like, I'm going to be different for different sake. But I just feel that he, being Sorokin, has too much momentum going right now. And why not give Varlamov an extra day? And by that, I mean, like, he still skates and he's going to be on the bench type of thing. And if he needs to step in, he'll be ready. But you've got a guy who's working on two shutouts, or back-to-back shutouts. That's something you don't really toy with. Like, that's just too good to be like, sorry, we're going to play the guy who had his toe hurt or something like that.
Yeah, I see that side of it. I think the fact that they activated him earlier in the week kind of shows like, okay, he's ready. I think he's going to get his reps in. And they just want to get back to that 1-2 punch. I mean, Sorokin did his job, but I think, you know, Varley's got to get his reps in too. So I think they're going to want to get that going as soon as possible.
Yeah, I was wondering if there's anything to them activating him when they did. And I didn't look into it any more than just like that passing thought. Like, why did they do it on? Was it on Monday that they did it, or was it Tuesday? The week is blending together.
I think it was
right now.
I want to say it was Monday.
So why Monday instead of Thursday? Right, like 2 days before the game type of thing. Mm-hmm. Because I imagine that, I guess for them, it doesn't really matter on the cap so much as how much they save on a daily basis. But if they ever get into that sort of situation where it would matter, then why the heck not? But they're not there, so it is what it is. I think it's just us kind of like, Lou was just kind of ready, going like, all right, well, you're good to go. Might as well get it done now.
Yeah, at this point, it was just, okay, we're going to do it to do it. And yeah, I think he plays right away. But moral of the story, I'm excited to see him back on the ice. Because frankly, I mean, he's been a really good goalie for the Islanders the last 2 years. I know we were kind of all, you know, as a fan base, sad with how Robin Leonard's tenure ended. And, you know, they obviously decided to go with Semyon Varlamov instead. But Varlamov's been a really damn good goalie for this team.
Yeah, I think you can do both things. You can be sad that Robin Leonard is no longer here and be happy that Semyon Varlamov is doing well.
You should, but that's a very nuanced take, which doesn't happen very often.
That's true, right? Everyone's got to take a side and stick with it no matter what to the death. Damn it, I love Robin Leonard too much to like any other goalie forever and ever. Amen. Be like, well, you know, it's not Semyon Varlamov's fault that the Islanders decided to go and get him. Right. They were going to give him $20 million. You think he's going to say no? No, of course not. Anyone would be like, yeah, you don't realize that I'm crap, right? Whatever. I don't care. You know what? I'm not going to say that. Just give me the $20 million.
And I think it worked out. So absolutely, we'll take that. Anything else on Semyon Varlamov before you want to move this thing along?
No, I think we hit on the big things here. Like, they get a guy that they can throw in every other night, or not even, like, essentially compete for a spot, but we know that he's got one. And it's a Vezina caliber goalie that we're tossing in there. So, like, it's all good, baby. Everything is good here.
Absolutely. As for what happened as we're recording this yesterday, by the time you're listening to this, probably 2 days ago at this point. Once again, Mitch, Lou Lamoriello broke my brain. He stunned me. I don't know why, but yeah, Ross Johnston got another 4-year contract extension.
I want to preface all of this chat by saying I'm not upset that he got a contract. So if you leave whatever I'm about to say with you're upset and you shouldn't be upset, that's not the case. It's just confusing.
Yeah.
Or weird. Right? Like, the whole situation is weird. And doesn't seem as necessary as this deal makes it look like. So with that, Ross Johnston gets 4 years and $1.1 million per. He gets a raise, $100,000 raise, to do stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's got it. Like, this isn't hyperbole, but I genuinely believe this. I would love to find this. I just don't have the time to dig through all this. But I would imagine he has to be the only player in NHL history to have less than 90 games played and have signed 2 4-year contract extensions.
Probably.
Right?
Probably. It might very well. I don't... Again, it's... The contract value is variable. Yes,
yeah, of course.
We all agree that you can bury $1.1 million in the AHL. Cool. Absolutely. We understand that it's waiver... What's the word I kept seeing? I can't think of it now. Like, essentially waiver proof, as in, like, you put him through waivers, no one's claiming that, which right there and then is a big kind of like, why are we doing it then?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. Yeah.
I get that, but, like, outside of that, you're going, why do we have to give him 4 years? Why?
I don't know, because what I wrote, and part of the reason why I was confused by it, and again, it seems like the process in Lou's mind is, okay, we don't want to lose this guy in waivers, so we'll sign him to a long-term deal, even though it's $1.1 million, so no one's going to take it. And I get it. But at the same time, like, you know they're not letting Cal walk. They're going to figure out a way to get Cal back for the remainder of the Matt Martin contract at a minimum, I would think, the 2 years. So it's not like it's, oh, he's going to be the Cal Clutterbuck replacement and play on the right side with them next year. I don't think they're breaking up that line. So you're locking in your 14th/AHL forward, I guess.
That's the thing. I keep seeing, like, people say that he being Cal Clutterbuck is going to retire. He's 33, turning 34 in November, I believe. November 18th, I think. Yes. He's turning 34. He's going to retire.
Maybe.
It's certainly possible. I don't know if that's likely. Cal seems perfectly fine right now. He's not really sporting any other injury, or new injury, I should say. Like, the back probably isn't as good as he would like it to be, so I'm sure that's possible. But are we really going to say that we want to see Matt Martin and Ross Johnson on the same lineup in the same on the same line night in, night out?
No, I don't, because with Cal, he's able to kill penalties and provides a little bit more than what Matt does. Matt and Ross are very similar, and Matt is the better player. No disrespect to Ross, I think. And the thing is here, like, I think Ross Johnston could be a fourth liner on a, and have, like, a regular role as a fourth liner on some teams in the NHL. The Islanders just have a fourth line that they're perfectly comfortable with and don't have any inkling of changing. That's the confusing thing.
That's really what it comes down to. It's just, like, it doesn't seem like he fits with what they what they're doing. And I know everyone says, well, they clearly disagree with you because they gave him 4 years. And, like, okay, cool, fine. But they had two chances to play him this year, right? Matt Martin's played four of a possible six games. They, being the Islanders, played Matt or Ross Johnston one of those games for less than 6 minutes. So they were fine with not playing him at all for another one and playing him for basically half of what Matt Martin does.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to combine last year, so that's, what, 62 regular season games? He has 13?
Yeah, like, I don't, it's not, again, it's not to say that Ross Johnston is a bad player. Ross Johnston should not be re-signed. It's, could we not made this even waiver eligible or waiver proof by just giving him an extra year?
Yeah, probably.
Was 4 years really kind of like, oh, I don't know. What about three? What about two? Was two more years on top of the one he's making now? Like, right now, I think is already too much. Right? Maybe not, because it's a one-year deal. But you give him 1 year or two more years. Do you think someone's like, I don't know, that's too rich for my blood. I don't want to get into 3 years of Ross Johnston. I just need him for this year. Yeah. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason, right? Teams don't want to sign up for a 13th forward at $1 million that they could find somewhere else.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't think I'm nearly as confused if it's a 1 or a 2 year extension. And I know we're kind of arguing, I guess, over semantics at this point. But it's still, I just came away very confused. And it was just a bizarre, out of nowhere move, which, I mean, I guess is very Lou Lamoriello. So we shouldn't be necessarily surprised. And it's not like, I'm not going to, you know, bash Lou to the end of time for this. I'm just saying that I was confused by it. That's the main point that I wanted to get out here.
Yeah, and so look, if we're going to play devil's advocate, and that's kind of what I want to do here, mm-hmm. looking at it from a couple of years ago, even, when the Islanders signed Casey Cizikas and even Cal Clutterbuck to their deals, we all said, what? Why are you paying that kind of money to that type of player? Why are you giving that type of term to that type of player? I remember typing out the article for the Casey Cizikas contract, and everyone was like, I don't get it. Doesn't make sense. It's a lot of money for a player that his role. Does anyone regret that contract right now, specifically for Casey Cizikas? I know everyone might say differently for Cal Clutterbuck.
No.
Right? And then he re-signs for less. And then he re-signs for less, Casey Cizikas does. Unbelievable. We thought the same thing then. And so there's something to this, right? The team clearly likes him. The Lou Lamoriello clearly likes him. Barry Trotz clearly likes him. He referenced him as a potential Tom Wilson-like player. I don't see it.
No.
Like, Tom Wilson was a first-round pick. Ross Johnston wasn't even drafted. It's not to say that undrafted players don't go, don't become something. It's the data or the stats weren't there at any level to ever say that he could ever be something more than what he is.
Which is fine. I mean, again, he could have a fourth line role on some teams if you want a player like that. Again, it goes back to Matt Martin's not going anywhere. Casey Cizikas isn't going anywhere. And even though Cal Clutterbuck's contract is expiring, I don't think he's going anywhere either. I think he's staying.
I think so, too, unless that we know for certain that he's retiring at the end of this deal, which isn't something that's certain. I don't see where he's ever going to find a consistent role. Now, I applaud him right? Like, kind of the same way with the thing we said about Semyon Varlamov. If someone's going to hand me, and let's say I'm Ross Johnson, $4.4 million over 4 years to stay with an NHL team, I am signing on the dotted line with the most permanent marker possible.
Of course.
Like, not even a laser can take it off.
Of course. And, you know, he has every right to. I have no ill will towards Ross for signing it, or I really don't. I think the common misconception is that I dislike Ross Johnston as a player, which I don't think is the case. I don't believe that I do. I'm just, again, the logic of this one doesn't add up to me.
So look, we were all worried, and not we, but like a number of people were worried that there was going to be a duplication of efforts between Anders Lee and Kyle Palmieri, right? Where both players are going to do the same thing while on the ice. We literally have that situation happening, and we're all going like, this makes 100% sense, and I'm not kind of confused even in the slightest. What are we talking about here? We were worried about the same thing on the same line, and then we're kind of like, let's do that in 22-23, please. Let's get two players that play the exact same game, except one of them is only trusted to do it half as good as the other one, or half as often as the other one, and that's cool. I'm not confused at all.
What? Yeah, I don't know. A good guy, probably a great teammate, all that. It's just that one, I audibly gasped when I saw that release on the Islanders website.
And I think we really have to just come back to the fact that if he's being... Well, how do I want to say that? If teams are wary of like, oh, that's too much, I don't want to bring that on, then maybe the Islanders shouldn't have done it, right? If you're throwing, this is a better way to say it. If you, this is waiver protection to ward off other teams from him because, you know, this stinks too much for other teams. Why are we so glad to do it?
Oh, no.
That's the confusing part. Again, it's not like I don't want Ross Johnson and this is a bad deal and we're going to regret it from day one. It's just kind of like, look, if 31 other teams are saying like, oh, that's too much for me, and we're kind of like, ha, let's do it. Isn't there somewhere where we're like, maybe there's something to this?
Yeah, that which is, I think, completely reasonable point to bring up here.
So that's that with Ross Johnson. I hope he plays. I hope they find a way to make that contract worth it and that Ross Johnson can make us eat our words without using his fists. But I just don't see that happening.
What if he knocks Tom Wilson around a couple times this year?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That Tom Wilson narrative. I can't stand it. Oh, he's out there to protect us against Tom Wilson. No, he's not. He's played 6 games since 2018-19 against the Washington Capitals and has played like 20. I think if I measured or counted it, it was like 20% of the time that he's on the ice, he shares the ice with Tom Wilson. So of 6 of 16 games since 2018-19, Ross Johnson is suited up to play the Washington Capitals and has only been on the ice for 20% of those minutes when Tom Wilson is out there. What the hell are we talking about that he's Tom Wilson deterrent? He is not Tom Wilson deterrent. No one is. Can we please stop focusing on Tom goddamn Wilson?
There you go. Strong words from Mitch Anderson on the Tom Wilson and Ross Johnson discussion.
Like, it's 37% of the time they've played, those two teams have played, he gets to suit up, and then 20% of those minutes he's out there with Tom Wilson.
And it's not like the Islanders don't have other players who could step in and do something if need be.
Right, like, what are we doing here? And it's, again, it's not to say what are we doing, why are we keeping Ross Johnson, it's just like, why does it have to be 4 years?
Completely fair. Do you want to get into down on the farm and what's going around in prospect land?
Absolutely. Last week was a pretty good week for prospects, specifically when it came to William Dufour. William Dufour is, I'm just bringing up the stats here in my little stat sheet here. Mitch D. He now has 15 points in 10 games. 15 points in 10 games. 9 of those points are goals. He's basically a goal per game player at the QMJHL level.
That's good. That's good.
And like it's a scoring league, but you don't get point per game freaking players.
Goal per game.
Sorry. Yes, goal per game players. Like that's wild. Like 15 points in 10 games at the QMJHL level? Sure. Absolutely. And I don't think he even leads the league in terms of points, if I bring it up right now. But when it comes to goals, oh my God, you don't see that type of goal scoring at that level necessarily. So if I do goals, he leads the league in goals. There's no one up to him. There's two players that are at 8 goals and a bunch of players at 7. They've all played 10 games just like he has. So no one's even close to him. When it comes to points, he is fourth in the league in points. 3 points back of Theo Rochette, who plays for the Quebec Ramparts.
Okay.
William Dafoe is killing the QMJHL level right now. Killing it.
We love that. And he got some love last week in terms of the redraft, right?
Absolutely. This is a kid that you have to take, and then was it Corey Prom and took him 55th overall. That's a 100-point jump, basically. He went 152nd overall that year.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
Right, you're talking about a fifth-round player that he thinks should have been taken in the second round now that he's looking at things. Oh, my God. A year out. Only 1 year out.
Right. A huge difference. Big-time jump. Love that.
Now, of course, grain of salt here. This doesn't mean that he's going to be Sidney Crosby or even Alex Ovechkin. He steps into the NHL and just can't stop scoring goals. It's, of course, entirely possible that that could... I mean, not entirely possible. It's possible that it could happen. But what is more likelier to happen is that his path towards the NHL just got a little bit more certain. Certain is the word I want to use. Again, it's not guaranteed that he's going to get there. It's just with this type of production, he's getting a lot closer. He's certainly worked himself into a pro deal. Once he's done here at the end of the year, he's going to get a pro deal from the Islanders. There's no question about it.
Which is good. We want to see that.
Absolutely. Outside of that, Alex Jeffries scored his first goal. He still keeps doing the thing he's doing there. That's a fourth round pick the same year. I guess if we want a good look at the 2020 draft, Alexander Ljungkrantz is doing okay, but not as good as the two guys drafted immediately after him. And then we have Rustin Ishikov. I just spoke with him today and he's doing better. I don't know if he's back yet on the ice.
Okay.
But he's had some extra swelling in his foot, I believe, or liquid, I think it was, which is what kept him off for another 3 weeks. But that was 2 weeks ago. So he should be nearing game readiness and ready to get back to playing with Adler Mannheim.
Okay. That's good.
And then outside of that, there's not a whole lot. Obviously, the Aturatu situation just keeps getting a little bit more weird. He didn't get game time today, and the coach basically came out and said, like, he's just not good enough.
Interesting. Okay.
Which is something, like, he's above 50% Corsi. He's he put up a point in his last game and didn't play after that. They won, so they're going to hang their hat on that. But like, it was a penalty shootout, and then they won against a team that, you know, it has quality but isn't really kind of showing it as much in the Pelicans.
Okay, that's a weird situation. I don't quite get that.
Right. So, yeah, not a whole lot there. Like, I'm checking in with him as we speak, and well, obviously it's nighttime there in Finland, but yeah, like I don't want to kind of burden him too much with this stuff because. It does matter. These things do matter, but I don't want to make it to be like, I need to know your micro decisions and everything that's happening day on, day out for you. Like, I would rather him just focus on just playing hockey and practicing and getting back to it. But I know Islanders fans aren't really keen on him not playing right now.
No, of course not. Isles Twitter's upset about it, and understandably so. It's their prospect who was just taken in the second round, had a good camp, and now his coach overseas is saying that he's not good enough. It doesn't add up from a logic perspective.
Yeah. He's not good enough to break into that roster, apparently, even as a third line center or even as a fourth line player playing 9 to 12 minutes a night. He's apparently not good enough for that. I don't know what the line is for good or not good enough. Yeah, the points aren't there, but you're playing him 63% of the time in terms of number of games played. What do you expect? And then you play him, you know, 9 minutes a night. But it is what it is at this point. I put up a video, though, it's not published just yet, but I have to hit the publish button after this. Essentially telling Islanders fans and Carpot fans, like, we have we're at the same place. We want the same thing. We want this kid to develop. For Islanders fans, I threw in a little nugget there when it came to Noah Dobson. Like, we have to remember in 2019-20 when the Islanders brought him in, he barely played.
Right.
Right. The only reason he did play is because Adam Pellett got hurt. If it wasn't for that, he would have not, he certainly wouldn't have finished with 34 games played, even in that shortened year.
No.
There's no way.
Yeah, no shot.
So, like, that's basically the situation that, Aturatu is in. It's they don't really feel like sending him to the U20 level because maybe they don't feel like that's more beneficial to him, although I disagree with that. They feel like it's maybe more beneficial to just keep him around the Liga side and kind of practice with that squad and be part of that squad rather than going to the lower one, which is what happened with Noah Dobson. Again, I don't necessarily agree with that, but that seems to be what they're operating on.
Yeah, I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it.
Yeah, so, and that's pretty much that when it comes to the prospect pool. Like, it's kind of quiet over the last couple of days, just because during the week there's not a whole lot of action. Tristan Lennox, actually goalie, third-round pick in 2021, seems to be injured. Uh-oh. We do not know the extent of said injury, but he isn't playing today and seems to have picked up a knock in the last game, so we'll see what's going on there.
Okay, something to keep an eye on, but that's not good. We don't like injuries.
Right, so that's that.
All right, let's get to the quiz. Let's do it.
As we do every week, we have a mystery New York Islander for you, Matt, and you at home to guess. So the clues, you have five of them. They get progressively easier as we go. The mystery Islander has nothing to do with the show number. So if you're one of the older listeners, just maybe chiming back in again, has nothing to do with 219?
Yeah, 219.
Right. Okay, so Matt, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Clue number one, I was born October of 1989. Younger than I am.
Josh Bailey.
Yes.
Oh, let's go.
How did you know the birthday? I know.
Well, I did some quick math from that draft class. I know he has an October birthday. Let's go.
Wow. Okay. Well, I did not know. Usually birth date is just kind of like, I'm never going to guess that ever. So, wow, good job by you. Two, I was signed on my 19th birthday.
Okay.
So that was the second one. Three, they traded down to get me. I was going to say they traded down twice, but I feel like that would have given it away.
Gotcha.
Four, I'm now 10th in franchise history for scoring.
Mm, okay, would have got it there.
And five, they have a song about my ability to not score.
Ooh, okay. I like those clues, Mitch. I'm sorry I ruined your party by doing it on the first one. Your clues
are
very good. How
dare you be smart?
I'm sorry. It's rare. It's very rare. I don't do that stuff very often, Mitch. Usually I'm on the losing end of these.
Exactly. Well, there's no losing end. It's all for fun. And so I'm glad you got it on the first one because that makes you have to think a little bit harder next time for those first clues.
Uh-oh. All right, let's get to the social segment, see what's going around on IELTS Twitter. Mitch, what do you got for us this week?
First comes from Steven Persaud. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. I want to say it in French, so that's why I kind of stumbled a little bit there. Tweeted out, and so everyone knows who Steven is. She's beautiful. Hashtag IELTS, hashtag UBS Arena. And it's a very well-framed picture of the UBS ice with the seats. The banners are up. The scoreboard is there. And I can't effing wait to step foot in that arena.
Mitch, as you know, I've said it on here and I've told you personally that my girlfriend lives in Queens, so I drive on the Cross Island past that building a lot. And the last few times, it's starting to feel a little bit more real, Mitch. I cannot wait to get my butt in the seat on opening night. Can't wait.
No, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be such a good day. Can't wait. Less than a month away. Less than a month.
Wow, that'll be here before we know it.
Absolutely.
My first one comes from at Islanders Only on Twitter, and it's a video of Ilya Sorokin and Anthony Beauvillier together doing a post game. And Sorokin goes to answer a question, and like he's not talking into the microphone, and Beauvillier kind of just turns the microphone to him, and he just kind of looks at him and goes, "Oh, thanks." But I don't know why, just the exchange of him going to answer Bo's reaction and then Sorokin just acknowledging it was just so pure, and I just Oh no! If you haven't seen the video, watch. You'll get a kick out of it.
It was very warm. It wasn't just like, oh, thanks, like a passing thanks. It was like he reaches out, taps him on the shoulder, a very warm, like, oh, thank you kind of thing. Like, it was the warmth of buddies type of thing, and it's exactly what you want to see.
All good things.
Last one here from me, and maybe I brought this up last week. I they're blending together the weeks, and it's the Islanders have a new dog, or the new guide dog,
yes,
they have an official name now, and it's Monty. Or Mont, I guess, for Belmont, which is fine, but I was really kind of going for Murph.
Yeah.
The story there was way too compelling. That was way too easy for the Islanders, and the fact that it went Mont had me surprised.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed to hear that. I thought we were going to get it for Murph, which would have been just too perfect. That's a bummer. I wish they went with that. My last one is from @IslesFix, and it's # Isles goal song at Notre Dame, the Anders Lee effect. And obviously, I don't know who from IslesFix, but somebody was there for Notre Dame USC, and they were able to get the stadium was playing crowd chant is the song, I guess. Joe Sirianni.
Oh, yeah, Joe Satriani. Yeah.
And there's a video in the background. So Islanders are everywhere, even at Notre Dame.
There you go. My last one isn't Islanders related at all, but it's about what is unfolding in the NHL right now with the super incredible, courageous, and brave act today by Kyle Beach. I can't. And of course, he kind of maybe not had to, but he felt like he had to because he was basically outed anyways because the report was so poorly laid out. Tied his identity, that is, but like, what an ordeal that is finally, maybe not finally, but has come to some sort of conclusion. It may not be satisfactory, and it probably isn't, because there's still a couple of loose ends there. Joel Quenneville is still coaching a game tonight, which is insane, but like, what a courageous act from that man. Hats off to him and everything he went through. Like, no one should ever have to go through that. Believe survivors. Oh my God. That shouldn't be stated out loud.
If you haven't seen the 25-minute interview, watch it. It's a difficult watch. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult to get through. But it was extremely powerful, and it was a very well done interview, and I echo everything you said. The bravery from him was remarkable. I could not even imagine.
I'm doing it now. The fact that he apologized, Kyle Beach apologized to that 16-year-old, or maybe not 16-year-old, the Michigan, I guess, player who was assaulted by Aldrich. He apologized. Oh my God, what are you? No, you shouldn't have to do this. But like, he still has the wherewithal to know, like, maybe there's more I could.
That broke my heart.
Oh my God. It was so much. Again, like you said, if you haven't watched it, do it. It's uncomfortable, but get comfortable in getting uncomfortable, because it's necessary.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was glad that I watched. Again, I'll say it again. It was tough to watch, but I was glad that I did. And I think you would too if you saw it. So before we go, make sure to subscribe wherever you get the show. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook.com/Eyes on Isles. You can download the fan-sided app and get us there. You can also visit the website and Patreon. Patreon.com/Eyes on Isles. $5 a month gets you post-game shows after each and every game. It gets you a mailbag show and a whole lot of fun stuff going on over there. Right, Mitch?
Absolutely. We're going to do the mailbag, like you said, right after this. I'm just pulling it up now. We have 14 questions to get to. Let's go, baby.
That's going to do it. I'm Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson. And we'll talk to you next time.